There is a word from the Lord. Our sermon today comes from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 through 31. It's a rather lengthy scripture, but it tells a story. I could have picked one verse out of it and, you know, work with it, but I wanted us to hear the story. And so when you have it, please say amen, and I'm going to go on and read so we can move on with our word today. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces cast down, downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor in Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early in the morning, but did not find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see. He said to them, "How foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." He said, "Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes was open, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. There were two titles. My title was, "We Have Victory in Jesus," and that has not changed. However, the other title the Lord just dropped into my spirit later on last night was, "Do you recognize Jesus today?" We are now at the 35th day of the 7th week cycle, historically known as the Great 50 Days or the Week of Weeks. During this time, the church celebrates the Lord's resurrection, his appearance to the disciples after Easter, his post-resurrection teaching, his ascension into heaven, and the disciples' anticipation of the coming of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. The ascension of Christ is on the 40th day of the 50 days, which would be this Thursday. These are historical times in the church that we commit to memory as a period immediately after Easter. The scripture verses I have shared that speaks of a particular event, the sighting of the risen Christ. Although the story told in these verses are of the very day that Jesus was resurrected, they are counted in these great 50 days. These scriptures are called narrative scriptures because they tell a story. The storyline is of two disciples leaving Jerusalem, headed for Emmaus, a village that is 7 mile away walk. These two disciples, one who is named Cleopas and one who remains unnamed, took leave of Jerusalem on the day that Jesus was resurrected by God the Father. They had heard the announcement by Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and the other Mary that Jesus had risen. They had also heard the account by Peter that he and John went to the tomb where Jesus was buried, just as Mary Magdalene had said. The stone had been rolled away, and Jesus was not there. All that remained were his burial clothes and the napkin that covered his face, which was folded, meaning, "I'll be back." All these things they had heard, yet they decided to leave Jerusalem and go to a village called Emmaus. They, deciding to go back to what they knew, was not an uncommon act. As we know, according to John's gospel, Peter and the others later did the same. They went back fishing. What both acts or decisions have in common was that Jesus showing up after they made the decision to go back. The Bible does not say if these two men were of the 12 disciples or because they were believers and followers of Christ that they too were called disciples. The scripture does say they decided to go to a village called Emmaus. When translated in the Hebrew, it means hot springs. On their way there, as they were walking, they talked about everything that happened, starting from the beginning. They were most likely going over every detail about what happened and how it happened and what they thought was going to happen when Jesus walked up alongside them, but they did not recognize him. Their disappointment with what they perceived as Jesus' failure at Calvary led to their failing to recognize him when he approached. How many times we fail to recognize Christ who was right in the middle of our circumstances because things was not going the way we thought they should be going. How many times we throw in the towel because we want God to bless us in our way, but God says, "I'm going to bless you in the best way." How many times we have decided to go back to what we're used to what is familiar, because we cannot get with the new thing that God is doing on today. The scripture says Jesus began talking to them first, asking them, "What are you talking about?" When I think of us today, I wonder what would our response would have been if a stranger decided to walk alongside us as we were walking and interject himself into the conversation. I know that I have my own thoughts about what most people would say, but I'm not going to go there right now. One of them, Cleophas, asked the question in the 18th verse when he says, "Are you only a visitor in Jerusalem and do not know the things that happen there in these days?" In other words, where have you been that you don't know what has happened? Jesus, still not making himself known, as the 16th verse says, for they were kept from recognizing him. There was like a shadow put over them, that they were so caught up in what was going on with the situation that they didn't even recognize the presence of God, the mighty God, the Son of God, Jesus, Mary's baby. They didn't even recognize him. They had been with him all this time, and here he was walking right alongside them, and they didn't even recognize him. So often God is walking right alongside us, and we don't recognize him either. We're too caught up in what's going on that we can't even see Christ. He's right there answering, comforting us, helping us, opening doors, but we don't recognize him because we're too caught up in ourselves that we cannot see Christ. And this was the same thing that was happening to these disciples. You see, when we don't get what we want, we tend to forget. We tend to don't remember. We tend to don't recognize. But Jesus is walking right alongside us, and we ought to learn how to recognize him. The scripture says they began to talk to him. And then as they were talking to him, he began to listen to what they were saying. Jesus still was making himself not known to them. He still pretended or acted as if he didn't know what they were talking about. Perhaps Jesus wanted to hear what they were saying and what they thought about what had happened in Jerusalem. Perhaps they were sad, depressed, and maybe even confused about what had happened. So he allowed them to vent. Perhaps Jesus, because he loved them, he knew that they did not understand what really happened in Jerusalem. Instead of trying to explain or reveal himself to them, Jesus just listened as they spoke. Jesus wanted them to verbalize what they thought of him and what had happened and what he meant to them. Jesus wanted to give them a chance to speak out, tell it the way they understood it. Jesus was still being Jesus, giving them a listening ear before a brisk cheering up or a snap of an attitude as we sometimes do. You know the response we give people. Oh, get over it when people are going through. But we got to learn how to listen. We have to learn from Jesus that sometimes people first need you to hear them before you give them advice. Sometimes people just need to tell what their concerns are before we interject our opinions. If what they are saying does not ring true, it may be true to them at that moment. Until a person's pain is released, they cannot hear truth, no matter who's speaking it. And Jesus recognized this. He knows the human spirit needs to cry out before it can accept truth. Jesus knew because he had once cried out in despair in the Garden of Gethsemane. But afterwards, he was able to accept what was. I must go to the cross. As he spoke out, Jesus heard 8 statements from these 2 disciples, summing up the life of Christ, summing up Jesus's purpose, summing up the outcome. And according to this, starting with that 19th verse, it says, what things, he asked, about Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed, before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death. They crucified him. But we had hoped that he would be the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what more, it is the 3rd day since it all took place. In addition, some of the women amazed us as they went to the tomb early in the morning, but did not find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women said, but they did not see. How many of us sum up our entire lives in a few statements, with no regard for God or his presence in our life? As with these disciples, we are usually too busy seeing life according to the way we wanted it, not according to the purpose and the plan God had for us. We say we trust God, we believe God, we want God to do the best for us. But when God does what he says and he doesn't answer us in the way that we want him to answer us, we say that God has failed us. We are given our opinion. Jesus now has an opportunity to give the truth. Still, they did not recognize Jesus. In the next 3 verses, Jesus does the talking now. He says to them, how foolish are you, and how slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken? Did not Christ have to suffer these things, then enter his glory? And beginning from Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning him. Jesus was quoting scriptures to them again, because throughout his ministry, he supported everything that he did through the scriptures as they were written, as they were foretold by the prophets, beginning with Moses, that he, the disciple, must suffer. He said, it is said in Isaiah 52:13, see my servant, act wisely. He will be raised and lifted and highly exalted. In that 53rd chapter of Isaiah, verse 12, it says, therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sins of many and made intercessors for the transgressors. Starting with Moses, through the prophet's story of his coming was foretold. Had they been listening, had they understood and believed what they had heard, would they now be sad and turning back? Or would they be rejoicing in victory? The disciples had a personal teaching of Jesus from the Old Testament scripture. What they did not get was that his suffering, his death, his resurrection was required for the victory. Sometimes we got to pay to get what we need. Sometimes we have to go through some things before God blesses us in the way that we need to be blessed. Sometimes we have to be used of God, and it's not always pleasant. Jesus understood this, and I need you to understand it today. We cry, we whine, we complain when we're going through. But out of that situation, God is going to make you stronger. He's going to make you bigger. He's going to give you a testimony that you can tell somebody about. You got to start Stop always looking at yourself and look at the good of everyone else. Sometimes God want to use you in a way that he had not used somebody else. Yes, you go through. Yes, you're in pain. Yes, you might be sick. Yes, you might lose your job. Yes, you might have lost your home. But God is going to use your situation to bless somebody else. When somebody is going through and you don't have a testimony and you just standing there looking at them, what do you think they feel? They know that you don't understand. As a cancer survivor myself, the reason why I was used by the American Cancer Society to speak to other women was because they knew and God knew that I could relate to what they were going through. People don't always hear that your life is so glorious. They want to know that you know that you know that God can bring you through. You want to know that God is a healer. He's a way maker. He's a bridge over troubled water. He'll take you out of your situation and set your feet on a higher ground. Yes, people want to know, do you recognize Jesus in your life today? They simply couldn't recognize him because they rejected the whole idea of his death. We will only recognize Jesus if we see Calvary as the victory, not as a defeat but as a conquest and not a failure. What they did not understand was that his suffering, his death, his resurrection was required for the victory over sin, death, and damnation. Even more, they did not get it that Jesus came not to restore what was, but to make possible what never was. I want you to get that now. Hear me one more time. Jesus did not come to restore what was. He came to make possible what never was. To provide a right relationship with God the Father. He came to provide salvation to all who accepted him as their Lord and their Savior. He came to provide an abundant life. He came to provide a direct path to the throne of God's grace, to provide eternal life to all who received him. The disciples and the people wanted Israel the way that it used to be. They wanted it the way it was when Moses was king, the way it was when they were free from the oppression of Rome and all the other pagan nations. But God had another plan. God's plan was a complete plan that it required a sacrifice, a complete victory that would not be found at the end of a weapon or by the spilled blood of an innocent animal, but a victory that was complete, a victory that included all people, that could not be paid by no one but the only and begotten Son. The two disciples listened intently as Jesus was speaking, remembering then what the prophets had spoken of and what he had taught. They were so engaged in the conversation that even when they arrived at their destination, they still did not recognize him, but they invited him in to stay with them. Still not recognizing Jesus, but recognizing the truth that he had spoken. Jesus not being one to push himself on them, acted as if he was going to go a little further. But they responded in that 29th verse when it said, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. As with the disciples, Jesus will not force himself on us. He will wait until we invite him in. When we ask him into our lives, he will come and do what no one else can do. After Jesus had been invited in, they prepared for their evening meals. You know, sometimes Jesus is here wanting to bless us, but we are too stubborn to accept him for what he can do for us. We are so caught up in what we can do for ourselves that we forget that we but call on the name of Jesus. The choir sang it today. We love him. Yes, we love him because we know that he is the God of God and the King of Kings. He can do anything but fail. He made some promises to us, and we ought to say it to him each and every day. God, we love you, and you promised to keep us. But we just keep our troubles to ourselves. And Jesus is saying, "I'm here. Don't you recognize me? I want to bless you. Just call out upon my name. Just call on the name of Jesus. And Jesus will come in and minister to you. He might not make it the way you want it to be, but he'll make it the way that it should be, the best way for you. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we say, in thy will be done. We don't pray, in my will be done. In thy will be done. In thy will means, God, come on in and bless me any way you choose to bless me. I know that I love you, and in time I'll be satisfied with what you have done. God, I might have a little trouble with it right now, but I'll get over it because you are the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. I know somebody is struggling with that today because God didn't give me this to stand here and just say it over and over again. Recognize Jesus in the situation. We don't want to recognize him because he's not saying what we want to hear. Here, they have invited Jesus in. And as they prepare for the evening meal, Jesus took the position of host rather than guest. Here now, he was the guest. He was the one invited in. But when you invite Jesus in, he becomes the host and you become the guest. When we invite Jesus in, he become the host who would rather serve us and wait on us than we serve him. For he said in his word, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. In that 30th verse, Jesus knew now was the time that their eyes would be open. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread. He gave thanks and he broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were open and they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. All this time, Jesus had been with them, and they did not recognize him. All this time, they didn't understand the true meaning of his teachings. All this time, they didn't understand. If they had understood, they would not have. They would be rejoicing and not retreating. They had the victory. We have the victory because Jesus died that we would have the victory over every situation. We give Satan credit for stuff Satan not even doing. We build Satan up more than we build Christ up. We say Satan did this and Satan did that. No, Satan didn't. Satan don't have power over you. God came that he would not have it. We got to learn how to speak truth to power. We got to learn how to speak positive out of our mouth and not keep giving the devil credit. Stop lifting the devil up. Isn't it just like us to have the victory but fail to realize that we have it? Just like us to see our fails, but we try to box God in because we want God to do what we want God to do. But God says, I'm going to give you the best that is for you. Isn't it just like us to still be waiting on an answered prayer when the prayer had already been answered? Isn't it just like us to quote that favorite scripture from Jeremiah 29:11 that says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declare the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. To plans to give you a hope and a future. Yet we still get out of our lane and get in somebody else's lane. Why? Because we don't want what we have. Why? Because we want what we see somebody else have, not realizing that it is not the best thing for you. Because we want to be used by God. God is trying to give us what is best for us. The disciples were sad. They were disappointed and angry. Because Christ did what God does in his own way. These two disciples, just like the others, didn't recognize Jesus. They did not recognize that they were standing in the strongholds of the enemy. They had a new beginning. They had what they thought was dead, but it was a new life and a new beginning in Christ. What appeared to the eyes of an unbeliever as failure is really the victory Jesus died that we might have. When Jesus took the bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to them, and their eyes was open, and he disappeared. This they recognized from the old and from the new. Sometimes you got to look back over your life and see where God brought you from. You got to look back at the old before you can see the new. They recognized the old and the new of what Jesus was trying to teach them all along. You see from the old that it is the Jewish custom for the head of the table, the host, to say, blessed are you, Lord God, King of the world, who has caused bread to come forth out of the earth. From the new, he took the bread. He gave thanks. He broke it and he gave it to them. Out of his body would come a new life everlasting. The Old Testament was the fulfillment. The Old Testament covenant was being fulfilled with the New Testament Christ. Our charge today is not to do away with the old, but to recognize the new covenant in Christ that has been given to us in the victory at Calvary. We have to come out of that place of failure, but recognize that we have a new covenant. We have Christ who has died to give it to us. We have to stop crying about what we don't have and give thanks to God for what we do have. We have to learn how to encourage ourselves with the word of God. Life isn't always easy, and it never will be. Those who have money are unhappy, doing all kinds of things to try to find happiness. Those who don't have money are unhappy, thinking money is the source of their joy. Money is good. We all need money. We all want money. But the true victory is not found in money. It's found in Christ. True happiness is knowing if I have money, I'm happy. If I don't have money, I can still be happy. Recognize my happiness doesn't come from money. It comes from God. In closing, the two disciples talking among themselves. After recognizing not only was Jesus there with them, but they had the victory through his life, death, burial, and resurrection. They now understood that Jesus had power over life and death. We too must understand that through Jesus, we have the power to live our lives in, and that we have the power over death. Although our bodies may die, we will be resurrected and live again. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked to us on the road and opened up the scriptures to us? Does your heart burn within you today when you hear the good news of God's word found in the scripture? He promised never to leave us nor forsake us. He promised to protect us. He promised to protect us and give us victory over the enemy. Do you recognize Jesus today? Are you defeated by your own mind? Do you recognize that Jesus came that you don't have to be confused by the enemy? When we accept that no one will get everything that they desire out of life, but because we have Jesus, we can be satisfied that what we have is the best for us. Sometimes we just throw Jesus under the bus. He came to bless us. He came to do what he promised that he would do. We pray and ask God, do for me, Lord, what is in your will for me. And then when he does it, we're not satisfied. We want what the other person had. But sometimes you got to realize and recognize that there's a price to pay for everything. Maybe you don't have what it takes to pay the price for what that person had. I remember sharing with my Sunday school class that I drove up to the gas station. And there was this big truck, this Land Rover. And when the Land Rover rolled up and the gas attendant says, how much gas do you want? They said, put $10 in it. Here you have an $85,000 truck and all you can put in it is $10. You better recognize what is best for you. You better know what you can handle and what you can't. God knows what you can take care of and what you cannot. As I was sitting there just now and I said, Lord, I need a little story to close with. I know that this is a teaching sermon. This is not as Pastor, as the professor from Drew asked me, do I hoop? I said, no, I don't hoop. I just try to teach the word of God as best that I can. And so as I was sitting there, I had the spirit just dropped into my spirit, a story. I was watching The Love Boat. Many of y'all know The Love Boat. There might be some youngins in here who have never heard of The Love Boat. But on The Love Boat was a couple. And it was an older couple. The husband was a mailman. And you know the mail goes each and every day. It doesn't matter what the weather are. We might get a call from our office and say, oh, it's snowing outside. The office is closed today. But the mailman does not get such a call. And so this woman's husband was a mailman. She was a stay-at-home wife. She was a housewife. That was her job. As they were on this cruise, she was so excited. She was so excited because they had finally gotten to take a cruise. And so as they were on this cruise, she said, honey, I got something exciting to tell you. And he said, what is it? What is it? What is it? I can't wait. She said, honey, when you remember all those years that you were working, going out in the snow, the rain, the sleet, no matter what. She said, I was taking a little money here and a little money there and tucking it on the side. And now we have a whole, we have a wonderful nest egg of $20,000. She couldn't understand that he wasn't happy about the story she was sharing with him. In fact, he was a little upset, more than a little upset. He was angry. He said, you mean to tell me that all those days I went to work sick, I went to work broken down, and you seem to tell me you had some savings stashed someplace when I thought I needed to go to provide for us? And that's what Jesus is saying to us today. God is right there beside us. He's supplying all of our needs, but we're taking things into our own hands, doing what we want to do. Jesus was making a way for them. He was answering this man's prayer, but his wife was taking the prayer and stashing it on the side. You better wake up and understand and recognize Jesus. Jesus is right there providing for you. Look and recognize. Let your eyes be open that you might see what Jesus is doing in your life today. You think he's not answering, but yes, he is. You just don't like the way that he answered. Yes, it might mean I might have to go through a season when I might not like what's happening to me. But when Jesus take control, and Jesus, who knows what's best for me, he's going to open up some doors wide that I might walk through. He's going to open up the windows of heaven and pour out upon me so that I might see him. Jesus is a provider. He's a love God. He's a God who cares more about us than we care about ourselves. You just better learn how to recognize Jesus. Don't be like the disciples, so caught up in themselves that they couldn't see the Lord was walking right beside them. He's walking in here today. He's right in here today. Is there somebody here today who don't know Jesus? I hope you recognize him today, because he's come to save your soul. He's come to offer you salvation. He's come to be your God. If you don't know him, you better get to know him. You better recognize him, because life comes with some pains. It comes with some ups and it comes with some downs. It comes with some ins and it comes with some outs. And you need Jesus. You better recognize him today, because he's come and offered himself. He's not going to force himself on you. He's going to offer himself. Will you accept him today? Will you recognize that Jesus has come to make a difference in your life?